Good evening, and welcome to another special election edition of Making the Connection. I'm KRCB News Director Bruce Robinson, and for the next half hour, we'll be talking with the two final candidates for the 1st District seat on the Sonoma County Board of Supervisors. Next Thursday, we'll continue with the 3rd District Supervisor candidates, and an in-studio debate on Measure Q will conclude this series on October 2nd. Here tonight, though, I'd like to welcome candidates Will Peer and Valerie Brown to the KRCB studios. Thank you both for being here tonight.
Thank you, Bruce.
Thank you, Bruce.
Now, of course, as you well know, and our listeners may know, the 1st District represents primarily the Sonoma Valley, and that's a part of Sonoma County that can sometimes feel a little distant and detached from the seat of government. And, of course, the larger population centers along the 101 corridor. So let's begin close to home for both of you. I want to ask each of you as what you see as the biggest county issue that is specific to the Sonoma Valley. Valerie, what of all the laundry list to choose from, which one jumps out at you?
Well, I think if you looked at it as an overall, it's probably the economy. I think that everybody is looking at their finances a little bit differently. They're evaluating their budgets. They're looking at how far they have to drive every day. Can they make their mortgage payments? Will they have a job at the end of this economic downturn? And so I think that probably from an overall perspective, it's probably the economy.
And how does the county play into that?
Well, I think the county plays in many ways. I think that what we try to do is certainly protect our own workers and keep them employed. And I think that we provide programs and services that make it a little bit easier for folks out in the community, whether it's fixing a road or making sure that we keep crime down to a minimum and provide jail space for those who don't adhere to the rules. And I think we try to provide a safer community at a time when people are feeling pretty vulnerable.
Well, I want to thank you for introducing some of the themes that we'll return to in the course of the conversation. But, Will, I want to pose that same question to you, first of all, in terms of Sonoma County's specific issues that pertain to the Board of Supervisors and this district race. What do you see as, first and foremost, the homegrown concerns?
Thanks, Bruce. Yeah, the homegrown concerns, from my experience of talking with a lot of landowners in the Valley, Sonoma Valley, a lot of people are really concerned about safety issues, what to do with the high rate of dropouts, high school dropouts, what to do with kids who are getting involved with gangs. And it's a real problem. I mean, we have that reality in our nice little Sonoma Valley, and about a year ago, I guess it was 11 months ago, as you probably know, we had a gang-related shooting that ended up in the death of a young man, and it was a very sad, tragic event. So, yeah, we need to figure out ways to get these kids, who are particularly dropping out of high school, quickly into some kinds of internship programs or apprenticeship programs where they can get grounded, feel like they're a part of the community. And my wife, Anna, who's a teacher, former teacher, and now running a education program, is very active in the UCRI movement, which is a family-oriented, community-based movement to get these kids talking with adults, get some mentors relating to them like they're people who can belong to the community. So I would say that's the number one issue. And I have a whole list also, but that's the number one.
Well, we'll cover as many as we can in the time we have available this evening. One of the questions that is confronting the Board of Supervisors that ties into some of these concerns clearly is the future of the county jail. We got a big jail there. It's full of people. There's more demand. What are you going to do about the enormous price tag that comes with building additional jail capacity? Will, do you have some thoughts as to what the priority should be in addressing that question?
Yeah, Bruce, I do. First of all, the overcrowding of the jails, I think, is a problem of the justice system itself. I think a lot of nonviolent criminals don't have to be in the jails, and that would ease up the pressure on having to build new jails. I think a lot of the criminals, so-called criminals, are there for, you know, infringements with, like, possession of marijuana, things like that, that really, to me, aren't that serious. They need to have definitely programs to help them change their ways and be, as I said, more of a contributor to their community. But I would like to see that happen so that there were honor farms where these people could go and, you know, they could come and go and be there on a daily basis and check in with the sheriff and work that way. So that would be one answer, because I believe building more jails is not the answer. We need to change the whole criminal justice system around so that we can get fair justice. I'm a real advocate for social justice, and I want to see that happen first.
Valerie Brown, build a new jail, do something else. What's the best course that's open to the county?
Well, I think one of the advantages one has of having been part of this process for a while is that you see what the county has done to provide some kind of corrections reform. We are of the belief, even though the state thinks that building new prisons is the way to go, that building new prisons is not the most effective way to deal with either public safety or any of the other issues that we're dealing with in our community. So we have actually been involved for the probably about the last year and a half on looking at a total reorganization that begins with our court systems. It looks at programs and services. It looks at ways that we can provide treatment for folks prior to going to jail so that they don't even have to spend time in a prison. And I think one of the big areas that we're particularly concentrating on, which is, I think, certainly of issue to a lot of folks in Sonoma County, is do we really want our jails to be our mental health institution? And how do we create a community of facilities and services that provide for those folks who need that extra support that really should never be in a jail system to begin with? I mean, I think our jails are probably doing the best they can with the populations they're put in the position of serving now, but 99% of our revenues for mental health come directly from the state and federal government. So it's really, I think, our task to make sure that we have the funding down for the programs for treatment for alcohol and substance abuse so that we can keep folks out of jail.
I don't sense a huge difference between you guys on this one, so let's move to a different topic and see if we can find some distinction here. The Sonoma area also has had the dubious distinction of being the only place in the county where the dreaded light brown apple moth has put in an appearance so far. So farmers and grape growers in that area are dealing with the quarantine that's since been imposed. So do you think that the county's response has been appropriate, too little, or an overreaction to what may be an exaggerated threat in some people's minds? Valerie?
Well, I think that we're put in a difficult spot because we aren't the agency of jurisdiction. CDFA is the agency of jurisdiction.
I'll spell it out for our listeners.
California Department of Food and Agriculture.
Thank you.
And they actually make the rules about what is indeed an infestation and what happens as a result of that infestation. I think that one of the values of, I actually asked for a public hearing at the board level to get people's input so that CDFA would hear very clearly where our community stood. And I think that along with Assemblyman Jared Huffman, we have taken a stance against aerial spraying and that we're not really too happy about the twist ties either. But we also understand that we have crops and produce in this county that we need to protect. So there's a real interesting balance. We kind of avoided the big issues this year because we were able to not actually find an infestation that required twist ties, but I think that CDFA is listening more to communities across the state of California, and I think we've been one of those that said you need to be very clear about what you're doing, and the public needs to be involved in that.
Will Peer, the light brown apple moth in Sonoma County, what sort of response do you think is appropriate to that?
Right. Well, in Sonoma Valley area, there have been a total of four found so far, two in one area in the spring and early summer, and then two just recently on the southeast side of the valley. So it's not really an epidemic. They've been found. It's also been shown that this species has occurred here in California for over 30 years. There have been studies to prove that. And I think really what it's good to be careful, because, yes, it is a pest. It's been labeled as a pest. But also, I think the thing that happened down in Santa Cruz County where, and Monterey County where, you know, residents and agricultural fields were sprayed, and a lot of people came up sick with asthma and other conditions, that has been curbed. So thanks to the Board of Supervisors, yes, we said no spraying at all, and that's good. The question of the twist tie treatment, which is a mechanism that's been designed for agricultural use.
An intensively localized treatment.
Yes, intensively localized treatment by putting them on the vines. And the threat that seemed to occur was that CDFA wanted to put them in residential properties. And there was a big outcry that was about maybe 100 or so residents said, no, we want the choice of knowing what's in these twist ties and having the right to refuse their installation on our property. So that, thank goodness, has occurred. And it looks like CDFA is going to honor that choice for the residents. And I'm hoping that this does not become an epidemic for moths, and they're setting out a lot of traps, so that's good. So I think CDFA is doing the right thing by trapping them first.
Yeah, they're being more responsive than in some cases, it sounds like. That's probably a good thing.
Yeah.
On the same ballot that's going to decide the race between the two of you, Sonoma Valley voters are being asked, again, to approve a bond measure for the Sonoma Valley Hospital. Beyond that, what role can or should the county play in supporting the provision of health care services within the 1st District? You want to take the first crack at that, Will?
Yeah, sure. This is a very important vote right now, Proposition P for the Sonoma Valley Health Care District. And it makes sense. It's well written for how much money they're asking for to retrofit the existing facility, improve it, make it as stable as possible in certain sections so that it's a safe place for people to get good health care. So my sense is that the role the county can play in this whole scenario of the Sonoma Valley Health Care District is becoming more proactive towards Sonoma Valley Health Care, Palm Drive, Healdsburg Health Care District, and the Fort Bragg District. Get more involved with all four of those JPA health care districts and help them pool their resources so that between the county and these four JPA health care districts, there can be a greater pool of funding coming from the federal and state governments to help make those healthcare districts more useful to the citizens of each area. So I really want to see that happen. And along with that, I would advocate for the county to renegotiate their contract with Sutter and take back the county's community hospital, because to me, it's not working out right now. Sutter is trying to still cut down on their services. The county has held their feet to the fire and won't let them back out of the contract, but they are, in their own way, cutting back. So I think the county could be very proactive that way, and it would help the overall healthcare system.
What about the seismic problems at the existing facility? That's one of the big reasons Sutter has kind of walked away from it all.
Yeah. Well, I think those can be addressed, and I think the state is finding that there are ways to retrofit that will meet certain structural specifications. And, I think the engineers can work it out.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Valerie, on the question of healthcare in the Sonoma Valley, what is the county doing? What should the county be doing?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question, Bruce, because just last night I brought our health director, Rita Scardacci, and Tim Smith, who is the supervisor representing the 3rd District, and he is also the chairperson in concert with Rita Scardacci on the Health Action Committee that has been charged with kind of looking at an overall picture of healthcare access and delivery in in Sonoma County as a whole. I think the wake-up call for all of us around health care was when Sutter decided that they were going to leave. We were fortunate in Sonoma County because we had a health care access agreement when we did transfer the hospital from community to Sutter that was ironclad, and it made it impossible for them, unless they wanted to pay exorbitant amounts of money to us, to kind of scoot out from underneath it. And I think that the board took an incredible leadership role in assessing what healthcare was in Sonoma County. And I actually asked for us to take that one step further and look at it on a regional basis. What we're finding is that what we're experiencing here with seven hospitals and health clinics and providers that are in nonprofit areas is that we still have needs that are not being met. And when we can't meet it, they're going to go to an adjacent county. So we've actually been working on a regional basis with Marin County, with Solano, with Napa, with Humboldt, Mendocino, and Lake counties to kind of look at where our populations are going and where the areas of need are. And I think that that's the first step in kind of laying out for not only us in the county, but I think on a regional basis about how we want our healthcare delivery system to look in the future. So I guess I'm really proud of the board for, one, having taken the first steps, and I think that we took a leadership role that nobody else was taking. And in fact, last night we were at the healthcare strategic planning group in Sonoma Valley talking about the Measure P and also trying to give them the value of the JPA that they're working together on and how that voice could be heard and how we need to see where they could maybe have a benefit in terms of healthcare delivery that isn't done necessarily through the bigger hospitals like Santa Rosa Memorial, Sutter, and Kaiser.
If you're just joining us, this is Making the Connection election special here on KRCV. I'm Bruce Robinson. We're talking with the two candidates for the Sonoma Valley seat on the Board of Supervisors, Valerie Brown, the incumbent, and Will Peer, the challenger. During the primary, one of the West County candidates, Jim Maresca, said frequently that he saw the job of county supervisor as being a manager of a large, complex organization. And clearly, Sonoma County is one of our largest local employers. So one of the questions that's being posed on behalf of that workforce is whether or not the county will take on a leading role in supporting and implementing a living wage policy for that workforce. So where do you stand on that question, Valerie?
Well, I think that's certainly a discussion that we ought to have. I think that there are some cities that have signed up for a living wage ordinance, and for some, it's worked very well. We've always felt like we pay a good living wage in Sonoma County, and that our employees are at market rate in terms of what we pay them. However, I think that the discussion needs to occur about all those people who interface with Sonoma County and whether we can afford to mandate that they pay a living wage as well. And
you're sending it to all the contractors.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm not even sure who all those people are. I mean, and so I think that there is a lively discussion that needs to occur, and I've certainly supported having that occur on the Board of Supervisors.
Well, Peer, the idea of a living wage for Sonoma County's workforce and contractors.
Yes, I believe that it's time for the Board of Supervisors to pass a living wage ordinance. And to me, it's very critical that that happen at this juncture because there is still a contract between the employees of the county, represented by SEIU Local 1021. And I think it would really help that situation if a living wage ordinance is passed soon. And if I'm elected, I would certainly advocate for that on the board. And this would help in many ways. It would benefit not just the employees, but the entire community of Sonoma County. Because if you have a living wage, which is calculated at anywhere between, depending on your job, if it's at the low end of the pay scale, it's anywhere between $18 to $21 an hour with benefits. So, you know, the cost of living is really up there in Sonoma County. So that might sound like a high wage, but in reality, It's not. It's a living wage. That's how people will survive here in the county, on that kind of a wage. So I would advocate for that. Plus, the benefit to the county is that the people get to live where they work. They don't have to commute from Lake County or Fairfield or Vallejo, which is happening now. And that has a big impact on greenhouse gas effects. It also has an impact on their pocketbook. So, yes, I'm an advocate for the living wage ordinance.
There's also the related question of the retirement benefits for the county workforce, which is a big cost. Although there's a commitment for the retired workforce and those who are currently employed. The two-part issue, I guess, how to deal with the benefits that are already on the books and what sort of future commitments to give the current workforce. Will, what do you recommend?
Yeah. Well, of course, this has been in the news recently, and the retirees of Sonoma County recently had their benefit packages cut back some, and most of them are really not very happy about that. So I would like to see the board revisit this issue and listen to the proposals that the retirees made. They came with a list of 10 possible ways that the county could use some of its reserve funds to help structure a tiered health care benefit package. And by tiered, I mean those who have retired with the higher salaries would be willing to take a 10 to 15 to 20% cut. And those who retired with at the lower end would take less of a percentage cut because they need the funding to cover the rising health care costs. So I would like to see it also reviewed on a needs basis also. Retirees who have huge medical needs need to have those needs addressed, and I would hope that the county could come through in that respect.
Valerie Brown, you've been on the dais while this is all being thrashed out. What's the best solution that you see to this whole issue?
Well, it's not a pretty picture. It's just not a pretty picture. We have been working on this, I'm going to say, for probably the last 2 years, and reviewing every package, every option that has come before us, whether it was proposed by a department head, whether it was proposed by a retiree group, whether it was proposed by an actuarial. We've looked at every option available, and it was, I think, a painful, painful decision by the board to choose to level it out, meaning that all retirees, and that included unrepresented supervisors, department heads, got $500 a month used for health care, and that actives would be in the same position. I think what we did, though, was forward thinking, and that we said it will be phased in over a 5-year period. I think there's a great hope and optimism that there will be some kind of health care reform at the national level that will put us in a slightly different position in terms of how we look at health care in the future. So by giving it a 5-year window, we thought that we could incorporate any changes that occurred. Second of all, we said that every 2 years, when we're required by the federal government to do an actuarial study, we will review and look at and try to figure out whether there could be changes made, and if those changes could be made, we'd put them back in place again. Third, we said that there are obviously a vulnerability among some of our retirees, and I'm talking about maybe people that retired 30 years ago, and obviously the salary that they retired with was not even close to the salary that they would be making today. So the amount of health care benefit is obviously going to hurt them much more. We have an issue in the county where for some people we're paying about $3,800 a year for retirement, I mean for health benefits, and some were paying $19,000 a year. There's a huge disparity, and the only way that we could think of that added a certain degree of fairness to it is that everybody had the same level. Now, if you look at the federal, if you look at the presidential candidates with Obama and McCain's saying just give everybody $25,000 and that ought to cover it, and they can just put it wherever they want. Maybe that'll change over the next 2 months, hopefully. Will's laughing, too. So, and Obama is looking at health care reform, but in reality, he's not looking at universal health care for adults. He's really looking at it in terms of making sure that all children are covered. Well, actually, that would be a huge help to some people who have families, that dependent is not going to get the coverage that $500 would give. And I think the last thing that we did is what we promised to do is look at the healthcare providers to see if there was a plan that could be provided that would be less costly and meet some of the challenges that people were looking for in receiving healthcare. So we tried to be deliberative about it over a 5-year period. I don't think anybody's very happy with it, but unfortunately, the budget is not allowing us to have many options.
We're down to our last few minutes, so I'm going to throw kind of a little peculiar question at you. In all the things that the county does, what one program would you identify as your favorite that you'd like to be a champion for? Well, let me ask you first. What one county program would you like to just be able to stand up and promote and defend and champion?
Okay. Thanks. Yeah, this is my passion, water issues, and I've been working for the Sonoma Ecology Center for the last 7 years doing fisheries research and habitat restoration work throughout Sonoma Valley. And I really, through going to workshops and many conferences, I've learned a lot about what's going on in the state of California about water. So here in the county, we are looking at possibly a water crisis that we may not really know the boundaries of yet. So I advocate for extending the groundwater study that was done in Sonoma Valley and have that research done throughout the county, wherever there's an existing community or wherever there's a place that looks like a community might like to be, so that we can figure out how much groundwater we really have in our aquifers and figure out how much recharge we can help manipulate for those aquifers and how much water do we really have coming out of the Russian River in the next 10, 20 years with climate change variables happening. We may lose the Eel River diversion.
So
or
water
part of
above
it.
And below the ground.
You bet. And it is the resource that depends on growth. It's our economic base, actually.
Okay, Valerie, you want to choose one. I know that's not an easy thing to do, but that's the challenge I'm placing before
you. And
you
have even given me time, and it's difficult.
Yes. And you've got 60 seconds to lay it out.
I just believe that we live in one of the most beautiful places on this earth. I think that Sonoma County is just extraordinary in its beauty. From the coast, 54 miles of coastline, to the grape vineyards, to the trees in Gualala and down. And I believe that this county, that it is not it, but it is in my jurisdiction. It's all there. And I believe that protecting our environment, being able to look up at a blue sky every day, our quality of life, and protecting open space is probably a passion for me. And I'm going to suggest probably 80% of the population.
I don't think you'll get much argument. Well, I want to thank you very much for being with us this evening, Will Peer and Valerie Brown, to let listeners know about you and your views. We're just about out of time, so I need to remind everyone else that at this time next week, KRCB will broadcast another election special with the two supervisor candidates from the 3rd District. That's Shirley Zane and Sharon Wright. And you can tune in for that next Thursday at 6:30 p.m. That, of course, is September 25th. This evening's program has been recorded, both audio and videotaped. It'll be posted on the elections page on the KRCB website, along with last week's program with the 5th District candidates. So if you know someone who couldn't last week or couldn't listen tonight, or if you joined us along the way and want to go back and find out what you missed, it'll all be there tomorrow online at the elections page at krcb.org. This has all been a production of KRCB News. I'm Bruce Robinson. Good night, and thanks for listening.